Welcome to Harvest Worship Center. Today's message, this is number 12 in our study on, an in-depth study on the Living Word. Number 12, today's title is Putting on the New Man Through the Living Word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have today to study the Word together, to come before your throne as children, to have this time, a special, precious time together to sit at your feet and to hear your precious voice as you speak to us this morning, Father. We thank you for the seed of the word and the harvest that it will bring forth in our lives. We give you praise for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory be to God. Been looking forward to today. I love studying the word. I always have the Bible study before you guys do, because I have to put it together. Yeah. But last week we talked about our minds are renewed by the living word. Today we're going to talk about part two of that, really, but it's the title is Putting on the New Man Through the Living Word. If we are to live a consistent Christian life, and all of us need to live a consistent Christian life, that means we're not a roller coaster Christian. We're not up one minute and down the next. It means where we got born again, we love the Lord, we're new creations in Christ Jesus, and we're walking with Him.
Amen.
We're walking with our loving Savior. So in order to live a consistent Christian life, one that is real, we must put on the new nature or the new man.
Yeah.
We just don't get born again, and then all of a sudden, boom, we got everything put together. We never have any problems or issues anymore. It would be nice if it was that way, but we would never exercise our faith. We wouldn't have to do anything. We wouldn't have the depths of the communion that God wants with us as we walk together through the circumstances of life. He wants us to be in dominion in our life, to use His Word and to allow the Holy Spirit to flow through us as we walk through those dark places in life together as one. That's what he desires so deeply to do. So in order to live that kind of a consistent Christian life, we must put on the new man or the new nature. But in order to put on the new, we must first take off the old.
Amen.
You cannot leave the old there and put on the new. They don't work well together. So we're going to start today in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. I like the way the Amplified says this because it's kind of graphic. But I take the word literally, well, not exactly literally here, as this one says. But it gets the point across to what Paul's talking about. Ephesians 4:22, strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and which becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Strip yourselves. The other ones just say put off or take off. Mm-hmm. But the Amplified says to strip off. That's kind of graphic. But what it means is to completely get rid of it. Leave nothing left.
Real deliverance.
Yeah, it's gone. It's strip yourselves. You're there naked. Now you put on something.
Amen.
In its place. So strip yourselves of your former nature. Put off and discard your old unrenewed self. The Amplified doesn't just say to put off. It says to discard.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference? Well, if I take it off and it's laying there, I can put it right back on. But if I take it off and discard it, it's
Amen.
No longer present anywhere
That's
where
right.
I can put it back on.
It's gone to the city dump.
It's gone to the city dump. I can't get it anymore. You know, so that's what, I love the way the Amplified says it, because it's putting it real graphic and an intense meaning on it, where it says discard. Don't go back there. Don't go back to your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. Notice it doesn't say that it's just corrupt. It says it becomes corrupt.
Yeah.
Our old carnal nature, the old man, the unborn again person, wasn't just born corrupt. We were born into this sinful world, but we were not born corrupt. We were just born. We were just babies. We had no input. So through the course of our lives, what we received and what we took hold of ourselves, we became corrupt. Becoming corrupt. So there's a process here. So it says we become corrupt through lust and desires that spring from delusion. What's delusion? Delusion is deception.
Yeah.
Isn't it? I've been deceived. Who's the deceiver?
The devil.
The devil's the deceiver. We're not born again and without him trying to affect us. We're still in a nasty world where he can affect us. If we receive that delusion that he's trying to present, and if we act on it. Verse 23 of Ephesians 4 says, and be constantly renewed. So 22 says to strip yourselves of your former nature, put it off and discard it. Verse 23 says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. A fresh mental and spiritual attitude. So we're renewing our mind. We talked about this last week. We renew our mind by the Word of God. The Word is what God uses to renew our mind. We have to receive that Word. We have to partake of that Word, and we have to act on it. But that is the process that God uses to renew our mind. We're to take off, and we're to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. And verse 24 says, and put on. So we've taken something off, and now we're putting something on. And put on the new nature, the regenerate self, created in God's image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness.
Hallelujah.
God doesn't just put it on us, does he? We don't just get born again and all of a sudden we're in this place where we'll never have any more problems. No. This is a process. We had a process. Our old unrenewed self, before we got born again, had a process where we became corrupt through the lust and delusions. Now we renew our mind with the Word of God, and the process starts as we put on this new man. There's a process here that's taking place. Created in the image, God-like, in true righteousness and holiness. You know, if you want to scale down righteousness and holiness to what it really is, it's the love walk.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
If you don't walk the love walk, you cannot walk in righteousness and holiness. I don't care how you do your hair. I don't care what kind of clothes you wear. I don't care if you stay away from everybody that is honoring and mean in your life. You still can't walk a righteous and holy life without walking in love.
That's right.
That is the righteous walk. That is the holy walk. That's all holiness really is the love walk.
Amen.
That's how you walk in holiness. Now there's things you do. There's a process there too, walking in holiness. There's a process of walking in righteousness or walking a right life with God. But it all boils down to the love walk.
Amen.
We have been made righteous. We don't become righteous after we're born again. We're born again right with God.
Amen.
That's what righteousness is. In order to put on the new creation or the new creature, to put on this new nature, or the new man, we must renew our minds by the living Word. That is how we put it on. If we're not renewing our mind with the Word, we're not going to walk this holy walk.
That's right.
We're not going to be able to walk the love walk. We're not going to be able to make the decisions that we need to make to walk the way that this newborn again creature is supposed to walk. We'll remain right where we were, even though we're born again. We will not make Jesus Lord of our lives, because we're not receiving the Word that we need to walk in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we need to renew our minds by the living Word. As we receive the living Word, it brings life. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9, and we're going to do the second part of verse 9, which is B. Since you have put off the old man. So the previous two verses, we stripped off the old man, and we put on the new.
Colossians what?
Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. And we're going to second part, verse B of verse 9. since you have put off the old man with his deeds, verse 10, and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free. Therefore, because I put off the old man, because I put on the new man, and this new man is in Christ, we're created in him, and there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, slave or free, but where Christ is all and in all, because of that. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ has forgiven you, so must you do. So we see here that what does this sound like? What's that sound like? That sounds like the love walk, doesn't it? Read that again. The verse 12 again. Therefore, as the elect of God, why are we the elect of God? Because we're born again. Because we put off the old man and put on the new man. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. That sounds just like two things in the Bible. The fruit of the Spirit, and it sounds like the love walk. So what's he telling us to do? Put off the old nature, put on the new nature, and walk in love. Verse 14. But above all these things, put on love.
Hallelujah.
Which is the bond of perfection. Love is the bond of perfection. A bond is what? It knits things together, doesn't it? And adheres to something.
Yes.
If it's bonded together, you can't hardly pull it apart. What are we bonded together with? If we're walking in love, we're bonded together with God. We're bonded together with the Word. Hallelujah. That's what it's talking about. Above all these things, put on love, which is a bond of perfection. Now, can you do all of these things that I mentioned? Put on tender mercy, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so also must you do. Can you do that and not walk in love and not be born again? You can white-knuckle those things. You know, if you're not born again, you can make yourself be forgiving, sort of, or a kind of forgiveness. At least it'd be outward. You can be tender in your ways. You can even be kind in your ways and not be born again. Can't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a lot of real nice people out there that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yeah.
It's a lot of just good people. But that is short-lived. If you had to force your way through it, it doesn't really bring life.
And you know, once this comes into our lives, then we start a growth pattern.
Yes.
And we grow and grow and grow, line upon line, precept upon precept, do a little bit.
Yes. But the love has to be the factor.
That's right.
That's why Paul says here, above all these things, above all these things. He said it that way because you can do those things and not walk in love. You can do them outwardly and inwardly be a mean old rotten person, but you make yourself be kind to someone.
You still, but if you're not doing it in love, then you're doing it with a lot of resentment and pride.
Exactly right. And what is that? Paul says that's as a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. It means nothing. You can give yourself up to be burned and all of that. Make yourself a sacrifice, but not do it in love, and it's nothing.
Right.
You gain nothing. So that's what he says here. Above all these things in the natural, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. If you put it on, what are you? You're in it, right?
Right.
I'm in these clothes. The clothes have no life without me. They don't have life at all, but they don't move. They don't do anything. They can't go nowhere without me. If I'm in them, they do what I do. And here, if I'm put on love, then what am I? I'm in love.
Amen.
I'm inside love. And who is love?
Jesus.
God is love. Jesus is love. I'm in Christ. So that's what he's saying here. You can do those things that I mentioned and not be born again. Or you can be born again and not do them in love. And they still yield you nothing. Then there's an and in verse 15. It says, and let. Now what's the word let? It's a commandment. In other words, you have to do this for this to work. Let. In other words, it's not going to do it on its own. It's not going to do it by itself. You have to let. So, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts.
And that's where faith
comes in. That's where it comes in. I may not see peace around me. I may have all kinds of difficulties, all kinds of problems, and everything coming at me. That's an opportunity that I have not to walk in peace. If I'm not walking the love walk, I will not walk in peace.
That's right.
You can't do it without it. But if I am on purpose, allowing God's love to flow in me and through me, I'm making that decision. I am going to walk the love walk in obedience to my Father. I'm going to lay my life down for those around me based on the Word of God, which the Word is my anchor. And I'm going to let God's peace, not man's, God's peace, rule in my heart. Where is it going to rule? It's going to rule in my spirit, matter in my heart. It doesn't mean there's peace all around me.
Right.
It means that I'm walking in peace right in the middle of the storm. Yes. I'm doing battle with my mind, emotions, and will. I'm taking authority over my mind, emotions, and will. And I'm making a quality decision no matter what comes my way. I'm walking in love. How can you do that and succeed with it? You can succeed with it as long as you keep that decision in your now. If you're making it in a now moment, in the opportunity that you have, and you make it fresh and new in every moment, that decision, you can succeed. But if you try to do this with a one-time decision, you're going to fail. You succeeded in that moment that you made the decision, but when the next moment comes up, you're going to fail because you didn't make it again. The pressures in one moment might be different than the pressures in another, or be the same pressure, but you didn't make the same decision. In the second moment, you allowed your emotions to rule. And that's where you'll fail. Every moment, every moment, every moment, you make the decision to walk in love, no matter what's going on in that moment. That's how you succeed. You succeed one moment at a time, one decision at a time, one love walk at a time, one step at a time. That's how you succeed. When you look back, you've gone a long way past the old man. You're putting that old man way behind you because you're continuously making a now moment decision as you walk through your life. That's how you succeed in this. If you come up and you say, I'm going to do that, Brother Michael, I'm going to walk in love. You might do it for 10 minutes. You might do it for an hour. You might succeed for a day. But if you don't keep making that decision on an ongoing basis as a process, you're not going to succeed. And then you'll say something like, this stuff don't work.
No.
Christianity's not real. There is no God. You'll get to that place there, and you'll try to white-knuckle it through your life. You'll wind up in fear, worry, and depression, and the devil successfully drew you away from life in God. He succeeded. He deceived you.
Yeah.
You did not keep on keeping on. You got to push that refresh button every now moment. I am going to do this. And Brother Eldon gets up every day. I can't come into church here without him encountering me. This is a day that the Lord has made. Now, I love that because it's the way he lives. He does that every moment. It's the first decision he makes. That's how you succeed. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will. The word will. I am making a quality decision here. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
And in all things.
Not some of them. Not for it. In it.
Amen.
You know, it makes a big difference when I'm going through a real problem like sickness and disease or something like that. I'm not going to thank God for that sickness and disease. He didn't give it to me.
Right.
He's not the author of it. He couldn't get it to me if it was there, because there's none there. He is the author of life, the author of healing and health, and peace and joy.
Amen.
So my thanksgiving is to him for what he's doing and has done in the middle of that. My thanksgiving is that I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who strengthens me.
Amen.
I'm in thanksgiving for all that God has done, not for the problem.
And you know, when we come to the place of maturity where we fully understand and recognize and accept the fact that God has permanently done this.
Yes.
He doesn't go to the warehouse and get some more, does he?
No, he doesn't.
No. He doesn't wait till I get in a position to accept it to go do the work. He did the work.
And he is the same yesterday,
today,
and
forever.
Amen.
Unending.
And boy, I tell you, that brings a believer into a place of faith.
Yes.
And peace and rest.
Yes.
And joy.
Yes.
And comfort.
Yes. But you are involved in that.
That's right, totally, 100%.
If you don't believe it, if you don't trust it, if you don't make a quality decision, God's word is alive and it's true. You don't make that decision, it won't work. You can't try this. You're born again or you're not.
Right.
You're a new creation in Christ or you're not. Well, I'll try that Christianity stuff, but if it doesn't work, I'm going back to where I was. It's not going to work for you. Because you can't do it that way. There's no faith involved in that.
Right.
You can't try Christianity. Because Christianity is not a religion. You can try Buddhism. You can try all the other religions that are out there. You can try that. Because they're not alive.
Right.
But you can't try Christianity because it's a new life. It's a brand. You're a brand new creation. You're not the same anymore. You can't go back. You can go back to the same things you were doing and be born again, but you're going to be so miserable in that because there's new life in you now.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you also were called in one body, and be thankful. So we're called to this life of peace. Doesn't mean we're responding.
Right.
We're called to it. And be thankful. What's Thanksgiving got to do with all of that? Can I just let the peace and forget the Thanksgiving? No. The reason is, when you are thankful for something, you receive it.
And the Bible says, in all things, give thanks.
Not for an inner.
For this is the will of God, yes, in Christ Jesus concerning
people get off center with that verse, Brother Eldon, and they think, okay, it said it right there. I got to thank God for this sickness. No, it didn't say that at all. It says the thanksgiving is God's will, not the sickness.
Right.
You thank him for the answer. You're thankful to God. You're turning your attention away from the problem to him. You're thankful for what the word says. You're thankful for that cross, you're thankful for a healing that he already provided. You're thankful for that, not for the sickness.
Right. You know, my wife was a living example of this, as she walked 44 years as an insulin-dependent diabetic.
But by faith.
By faith.
Yes.
Two blood tests every day, 4 insulin shots every day, 44 years.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And I heard her complain 2 times.
Yeah.
And the complaint was, honey, can I share something with you? I said, yes, you can, honey. She said, I wish I didn't have to take all these shots and blood tests. And immediately she says, but that's all right. I have put it in the hands of the Lord, and I am trusting
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
And she went ahead and lived a glorious, victorious
yes.
life
yes.
in Christ.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. That's what you do. She was giving thanks in the situation, not for
it. Not for the situation.
But in it. And that's where people fail so much. They believe God gave him that sickness, so he's getting glory out of it. He doesn't get glory out of the sickness. He gets glory out of you being healed.
Amen.
He gets glory when you give him thanksgiving. Not for it, but in it. There's a big difference in the two. That's what it says, the thanksgiving. I give this example several times in the past. I'll give it again because somebody will hear this for the first time. Just see somebody coming down the street. You don't know them. You never saw them before. May never see them again. And you're coming up to meet them. And you just reach out your hand and say, thank you. What's the response?
They look at you like,
what for?
What for?
What I do? Because even in the natural, when you thank somebody for something, you've done something. They've done something for you, or they've given you something, but you've never seen him before. You've not done anything at all. But in his mind, when you thank him, he's done something for you. Even in the natural, when you say thank you, you received. That's why you thank God, because when the moment you thank him for the answer, you've received that answer.
Amen.
And in all things,
Give thanks. That's why. Because you just don't thank him for it, you thank him in it, but you put that thanksgiving on something. You don't just say, thank you, Lord. You can do that, and it gives him glory too, but for the thanksgiving to bear fruit the way it's supposed to, you give him thanks for something. You focus that thanksgiving on a reality. For instance, I thank you, Father. Your word says, by his stripes I'm healed. Yes. By his stripes ye were healed. That's what it says. I thank you for the blood that Jesus shed for me and for the world. You focus the thanksgiving on something you're receiving. When you pray, pray with thanksgiving. Don't just ask God. Ask with thanksgiving. Philippians 4:4-8. But read it. Go ahead and read it, Mother. I got
the Amplified. Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, gladden yourselves in him. Again I say rejoice. Let all men know and perceive and recognize your unselfishness, your considerateness, your forbearing spirit. The Lord is near. He is coming soon. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer, petition, definite requests, with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God.
With thanksgiving. Don't just let your wants made known unto God.
Yeah.
With thanksgiving. Why? Because you're receiving those wants. You're receiving those needs met. You continue to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've received the answer to something from that point farther, you don't ask for it again. You thank him for the answer.
You know, I told you my dad was in bed for 3 years. I would go into his room and I'd say, hi, Daddy. He'd say, hi. And he'd say, Ellen, remember now, give thanks to God today.
Yes.
This is the only day you have.
Only day you have.
And I bet he told me that 500 times.
Amen.
Yes. And it marked your thinking, didn't it?
You know what? God raised that man up.
Yes,
yes, because.
And he went ahead and worked for 29 more years. Operated a farm and died just 3 months short of 90.
Wow.
Glory to God. Prayer and thanksgiving work. But if you pray without the thanksgiving, you kind of cut the thing short.
Well, it's hard to believe you receive if you're not giving thanks.
Right. Yes. It's yours now. So this is very important. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. What it's saying there, the context is, and be thankful, it means a lifestyle.
Yeah.
It's not just something you do occasionally. It's something that you are. And be thankful. Let the word. There's another let, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And whatever you do. How much is that?
Everything you do.
Whatever you do.
Everything.
Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So everything you do, when you get mad at that guy or that woman or whoever they are, your spouse or whoever you're mad at, can you do that in Christ? Can't do that, can you? You can't walk in anger, fear, and worry and do it in the name of the Lord.
Right.
He's not in that. You can't get mad at that guy that cuts you off in traffic. You can't get mad at that little old lady in the checkout counter that's taking all your time. You can't do that. You have to repent of that. Because you can't give thanks in that and you can't do it in His name. Anything that is anger, fear, worry, depression, all of that, you can't give. You can't be thankful to the Lord for that. He's not in it. He created me this way. No, He didn't. You became that way. Now, I don't know how you became that way, but there was a process involved. You became that way. Even if you claim it's a medical imbalance, it might very well be. But, you know, they tell you that science even proves, I'm not a scientist by any means, but I've heard this numerous times, that even when you cry, the chemicals in your tears are different depending on why you cry. They're different when you are crying out of joy than they are when you're crying out of sadness. The chemicals are different. Your brain manufactures different chemicals based on how you respond to things. If you constantly walk around in fear and worry and anger, it's going to manufacture different chemicals. So you're going to wind up in that depressed place and claim it as a chemical imbalance. It is. But if you switch that, and you start walking with joy on purpose. Well, one guy, I have this testimony many years ago, I think he was in New York or whatever, he had a serious illness that was killing him. And he made up his mind that he wasn't going to die sad. He was going to die happy. So he had somebody, I think it was a relative, go out and get all the Three Stooges, all of the comedy movies they could find, and he laughed his way back to health.
Amen.
He walked out of there. Because of the joy that was in his life. I don't know if he's born again or not, but that worked. And they tell you that. If you can get to the place where you laugh, laughter is as a medicine, the Bible says in Proverbs, it will actually change your chemical makeup in your body.
Amen.
Because you're walking in joy.
You know, this is the reason we must walk daily in the kingdom of God which is within us.
Exactly.
Peace,
yes.
Joy,
yes.
And righteousness.
Yes, those are decisions.
The peace that passes all understanding.
Amen.
You don't understand it, but you have peace.
Amen. Yes.
And the joy of the Lord, what is it?
It's our strength.
Our strength.
Yes.
And the righteousness of God, what's that? That's the Christ likeness in us.
In us.
The Holy Ghost,
yes.
And work.
It doesn't just work. We decide to do that. And then He backs it up. And that's so awesome to me.
God has not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen. No.
But of power,
and
of
love,
and a sound mind. And that sound mind, yes, is the mind of Christ.
Yes. Now I can take that word right there that you just spoke, Brother Eldon, and I can take that and start believing it. I have mental issues. This person has mental problems. Depression, fear, worry, walking on that, can't hold a thought right. He's walking through that, and that's real to that person. I'm not saying it's not real.
He's having to deal with it.
He has to deal with it. And he may even have to take some medicine to kind of dull that. But don't just take the medicine. Take that word. Grab a hold of that scripture. God has not given me this kind of a mind. It doesn't belong to me. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. He's my God. He dwells in me. The word says right there, I have a sound mind. I have the mind of Christ. So I claim that, and thank you, Lord. And you do that over and over and over and over and over again, seeing to it that you do battle with those issues. If you don't, they're going to stay there. No matter how much medicine you take, you can't fix that. But you can dull it, but I don't want to walk around like a zombie. The word works.
Amen.
If you use the word will work. It takes time. It's a process. If you make a quality decision, God's word is true. He died on that cross 2,000 years ago for me.
Hallelujah.
He left nothing undone. It's a finished work. The word says, by his stripes, the beating that he took, even before he went to the cross, he took the beating first. By his stripes, ye were healed.
Past tense.
Past, present, and future. Everyone that's ever existed. As far as God is concerned, the blood was shed, the covenant made, we're healed. We are healed. Even though it doesn't manifest in me, that's what the word says. So I'm going to believe the word, or the way I feel, or the world's way. I got to make that choice. And everything we've talked to you today about is the renewing of our mind. And this is a place we need to renew our mind.
Amen.
God's word's true.
And be consistent on it.
Be consistent with it. Well, I just can't do that all the time. You can in the now you live in.
Yes.
And when you work, when you get up your next now, do it again. And you'll find out that you'll go right on down the road to your deliverance and healing.
Amen.
Because
the
word works.
What the devil tries to speak to people and say, well, if you think you're doing that, you're just being critical, you're just being, you're being false.
Yeah.
But he's a liar.
He's a liar.
Truth is not in
him. Exactly. I'm going to balance this out. What does the word say? It says it's true. It's absolute. Cannot change. Now, see, the thing I need to realize, too, is the fact that God's word is true even if I don't believe it. My healing is mine even if I never receive it. My deliverance is mine even if I never get delivered. It belongs to me. God paid for it. And he's expecting me to do something about it. The joy of the Lord is mine if I choose it. I don't have to walk in those things. I always think, every time I get to something like this, I remember Andy Griffin. I mentioned to her the other day. Everybody knows Andy Griffin just about. Well, there's a character in there that just ministers to me. I don't watch it much, but I used to. His name is Otis.
Otis, yeah.
Otis ministers to me. He knows he has a problem. He's an alcoholic. He knows that. He doesn't deny it. What does he do? He gets drunk. He walks into the jail. No matter what's going on, he'll just appear. Walks over there to the cell. The keys are hanging right next to the jail cell. He takes the keys, opens the cell, walks in, locks the door, reaches around and hangs the keys back up. Why? He knows he did wrong. But he's not doing anything about it. He's just taking responsibility for it. But when he gets sober, he reaches around, gets the key, unlocks the door, and walks out.
Yeah.
Now that's the way many of us treat our lives. That's the way we treat fear, worry, and depression, anger, and all these other things. We treat it that way. It'll be short duration. I'll get over this. It's okay, and we go right on down the road and let it exist. That's what he's doing. He's going to be right back tomorrow. And that's the way we live our life. I mean, it's silly hanging the key right next to the door there. That's silly. You reach around, just get it. But you got to admire Otis. He's taking responsibility. He knows. Many of us know, don't we? We know what we're doing is not right. We know that I shouldn't be in this place. I know that I should do something about where I am. And for a moment, we will. And then we quit. We're right back again. We even blame God for that because I prayed. But I didn't do anything with it. I just asked for help. He gave that to me. See, we don't take responsibility and say, look, in this now moment, I'm not coming back here anymore.
Right.
And you get ready to go back and say, no, I'm not going back there. Now you've made another now moment decision. Before long, you have developed a habit of not going back instead of going back.
Yeah, but you got to take the step first to stop doing what was put in you.
You have to do that. You have to replace it with something.
And you know, God has given each of us the power of decision.
Yes.
By our free will, and choice. He will not interfere with that.
No, ever. He will not. He's not going to. Otis will go there the rest of his life. As far as God's concerned, he's given the key. He can walk out anytime he wants. But Otis has to do that.
And I've told my grandson, all you have to do, Christopher, you're a Christian. All you have to do, you have been given the power of decision, and God will not interfere with your decision.
He loves you too much.
All you have to do is make one decision.
Yes.
And never quit walking in that decision.
That decision.
And I said, that is where your faith
comes in. That's how we put off the old man and put on the new man. That's how we renew our mind. If we're not willing to do that, then we're going to fail. If we expect God to do it for us, he can't. He will not. He's going to put life and death before us. We have to choose. And so some people, they don't like to hear that. They like to hear, well, God's just going to take it away. He's not going to do that.
No.
I'm involved in it. I have to make those decisions. God will back them. He's already paid the price. There's no debt there. He's already paid it. I have no debts.
He's already given us the answer.
He's already given us the answer. Satan cannot stop it. He's got to keep us keep us out of it and cause us to stop it. He can't stop it.
Right.
See, it's impossible for Satan to stop the word. He can't stop it. It's not possible. If I take a hold of the word will work. But it's up to me to take the word and to maintain that word. Well, I've done this for 2 weeks and nothing's changed. It's not time for it to change yet. How long did you take that medicine? Well, I've taken it for 25 years. Well, how long are you going to take the word? If it takes 25 years, take it.
Amen.
You know, whatever it takes, take it. Take it and the medicine. Eventually, you won't need the medicine. You'll be looking at that medicine and it'll say, this stuff ain't working anymore.
You know, it sounds to me like, brother, that you're saying that we're walking in eternal life with God right now.
Amen. Right now. That's exactly what I'm saying. That's why he's in us. Eternal life lives in us. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that awesome?
Praise Jesus.
And the thing is, when we get to our eternity, we're already in it, but when we get to that place where we pass over, we're going to find out all this is true. And we didn't have to walk through all that problems
Amen.
And issues we had in life. You know, the majority of our problems we make ourselves.
Amen.
If I choose not to be angry all the time, I'm not going to have the fights that I normally would have. If I don't allow strife in my house, then I'm not going to be confused. Because it says where strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. Well, I've eliminated a lot of evil work just simply by not allowing strife around me.
Mm-hmm. Let me share something funny, which is so true, though. My dad would say to me, I'd get in a truck to go somewhere, Elvin, keep it under 80 and between the ditches.
Yeah.
And I'd come home and he'd say, what did you do, Elvin? I said, I kept the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
He said, God will bless you.
Yes.
He said, as a matter of fact, he's already blessed you. You're still alive.
Yes,
exactly. He told me that.
A lot of our problems we eliminate just by simply doing what the Word says.
Amen.
Some of them will still be there anyways. But they won't be as long a duration as they were.
That's right.
And we have the answer going into them. So my encouragement to everyone today is to stay in the Word.
Yes, amen.
With thanksgiving, receive what God has already done.
Hallelujah.
Make a quality decision. God's Word is true. Then you'll start seeing it work in your life.
Amen.
But as long as you're trying it, or maybe it will, maybe it won't, or today I am and tomorrow I'm not, it's not going to work for you. It can't. That medicine, if you take it today, right, the way the doctor said, and tomorrow you skip it, and the next day you take more because you skipped it today, what's going to happen to you?
You ain't supposed to do that.
You're in trouble. You're in trouble. Most of us, the doctor says, during meals, breakfast and supper, we'll do that. Take us when you get up, when you go to bed, we'll do that. But when the Word says to do something, we don't do that. Isn't that true? That is very true. That's so true. Where's the difference? Well, that doctor is only going on human knowledge. The Word is not going on human knowledge.
Amen.
The Word's going on God's knowledge and God's provision and what God said in the blood of Jesus. So if it says not to do this, to keep thanksgiving and all things give thanks, do that. If it says to walk in the joy of the Lord, walk in the joy of the Lord. If it says walk the love walk, walk the love walk. Well, I don't know what it is. Find out.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. I use the Amplified Version.
Start loving. You know, if you just rise in faith and walk with the faith that worketh by love, and you begin to let that love pour through you to that one that's always...
He's ornery.
Cause you trouble.
Yeah.
If you let true love pour through your heart, the first person that's healed in the relationship is you.
You're Amen. Exactly right.
And then that love will heal him.
It'll heal him.
Yes, it will.
Praise God. But we're not talking about doing it part-time.
That's true.
And we're not talking about feeling like it.
Right.
We're doing it as a sacrifice unto the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for this word today. Thank you for your blessing us with understanding. Enlighten our understanding to what we received today. We give you praise for it. Thank you for the services that lie ahead. We open our ears to hear this word today and to receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.